It sounds like an idea whose time has come. There's been an awful lot of talk about it in recent months, a developmental league. They have it in baseball. They have, of course, minor leagues in baseball. That's been going on for decades, if not longer than that. They have it, obviously, in basketball, the D League, the NBA D League, a developmental league for prospects. Why not in football, right? Why not a developmental league for the National Football League? Well, there are plans in the works for a developmental league that will start play this October. It is the Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. And joining us on the line right now is the commissioner of the FXFL, Brian Woods. Brian, thank you for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, John. Thanks for having me on.
I'm curious, first of all, about the name, the Fall Experimental Football League. What's experimental about it? What are you going to be doing? People wearing lab coats and stuff? What's going on?
not that extensive, but we have a couple of patents, and we are definitely going to exploit some technology, utilize it, try to make the game a little more interactive for the fans. So there's definitely going to be a technology component involved in our league, and hence the name Fall Experimental Football. If not experimental, let's try it out, and it's gone in 1 year. Definitely more on the technology side.
I gotcha. Brian, I think it's a great idea. I started talking about this on a radio show a year ago or more, and a lot of it because of the problems that exist in college football and the fact that college football at the highest level is so tough now to run a clean program and to get players ready for the NFL. But it seems more and more everybody's coming around to the realization that there's got to be another way to develop players for the highest level of football. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I think with the 2011 collective bargaining agreement, it kind of set this league, the need for the league in motion rather quickly. I mean, in 2010, you had around 52, 53 underclassmen declare early for the draft. After the 2011 collective bargaining agreement was put into place, it changed the rookie contract structure. It cut down the number of padded practices a team could have, and it led to this huge just influx of junior players. And so this year we had over 110 junior players declare. But more importantly, John, almost 40% of these players went undrafted. So these are kids that are going to go to camp with not a great chance of making the squad, making the team, making that 53-man active roster, even maybe a practice squad spot. And they need a place to go. And I think now more than ever, it's a time to do it. And we've seen the success of the NBA D League, not just with players, but with coaches, referees. The minor league baseball system has been successful for many, many years. And I think the time has come for a developmental league and a place to develop young players. And I think we have a good structure for them. We have a good model in place to make it sustainable.
Brian, even at the highest reaches of the NFL, people are saying that. Can I play a quick soundbite? This was Troy Vincent. He's the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. We had him on our show a couple weeks ago on May 29th. And on our show, Brian, here's what Troy Vincent said. He almost talked about the inevitability of a developmental league for the National Football League.
You know, it's something that we have to do. Just a matter of time, and I want to just make sure that I'm exploring all opportunities, that it's I'm being fiscally responsible, that to make and making sure that we are developing the player properly. Again, getting a bunch of different perspectives, I'm compiling notes and files. It is work in progress. I don't have a timeline. But it is something that eventually we should be seeing in the future.
That's Troy Vincent, the NFL Executive Vice President, Football Operations. Brian Woods, the commissioner of the FXFL, on the line with us live right now. And, Brian, you heard him say it. He said, it's something that we've got to do. It is almost inevitable, it sounds.
Yeah, it's definitely, I believe, inevitable. But I think that, again, even coming from the league office, you and I both know that the owners run the league. And I think a lot of them still have a sour taste left in their mouth from NFL Europe. I mean, that was a purported developmental league, but you and I both know that was a commercial league, and they spent a lot of money and to the detriment of a lot of the owners involved. And so before many of them vote on this, which I'm sure they would have to do at some point before they jump head first back into this, they need to make sure that what is the true intention of it? Is it a commercial league? Is it a developmental league? And so I think that we've designed a model that can allow, if the NFL does choose in the near future to get involved with us officially, I think we have a financial structure, going into smaller venues, keeping the cost. Why should we be paying these players $6,000 and $7,000 a game when they barely make that on a practice squad in the NFL? So I think that when we designed the model, we looked at what minor league baseball did well. We looked at what the NBA D League did. and cost containment has been a top priority for us. So I really think that the NFL would be would benefit from being involved with this at some point, because we can develop players properly, and I think we have the financial structure to be around for a while.
Ryan, I'm curious about the distinctions you make between a commercial league and a developmental league. What you said, NFL Europe, you described as a commercial league. Can you explain what you have in mind when you say that?
Well, I guess the way I look at it is when they formed NFL Europe for what they called developmental purposes, I think it was flawed from the get-go. Number one, it was a spring league. Okay, so if your true intention is to develop young players, let's be developing them in season. Let's not develop them and send them to a foreign country when your team is back home going through mini camp, going through OTAs, and your players aren't even working with your coaches. That's not. And I think the other thing is they went into very big venues over there. So the way I looked at it is NFL Europe was an experiment to see if we can't get people in Europe excited about American football, not so much to develop young players, because I think if you're really trying to develop young players, you need to be doing it in season, and you need to have a way very similar to minor league baseball and the NBA that does their, plays their games and conducts their practices during their parent league season. I think it needs to coincide that way. So I think that the model we've created is we're not dependent on TV revenue. We're keeping costs down, and I think our true intention is to hire good coaches, to develop young coaches, just like the NBA D League and minor league baseball does. And so I think it's, again, there's a definite distinction between our league and what NFL Europe was.
We're on the line with Brian Woods. He's the commissioner of the Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. I want to dive into your model here in a second, Brian, but just give us a little bit of your background. You're an attorney, right? Where are you, in Mississippi, or where are you? Where you live?
No, I was a walk-on defensive back at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Was a graduate assistant football coach for 2 years under Dan McCarney at Iowa State, and I'm a sports lawyer by trade. I'm actually in New York City. I'm based in New York.
Okay, but yeah. You seem to have the complete resume for this, right? With a background in sports and in the law. That's good.
I do. Yeah, I have I think I have an interesting pedigree and a guy who's been around the sport. This past year, I served as the executive director of a new All-Star game in Charleston, South Carolina. We had 72 of our 96 players landed on NFL rosters.
Yeah.
So I think I have a decent eye for talent as well, so I have the skills to make this league, run this league, oversee the operations, the day to day, and make it give it our best shot and try to be around for more than just a year.
Yeah, that game in Charleston, the Medal of Honor Bowl, right? And you had our old pal Chan Gailey coaching one of the teams, right? This past
he did, year. Yeah. Yeah. Chan was actually he was great. He did an outstanding job, and we had a great week with him there in Charleston.
All right, back to the FXFL. You've talked about your model. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what the FXFL would look like?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, this year we're going to start with six teams. There could be a possibility that we start with one less, only because some of our East Coast interests are a little concerned with the travel situation of having one West Coast team this year. So there could be a situation where we've talked about Portland and been very serious with Portland moving forward with them and their group out there. But there could be a situation where Portland becomes a year two team. But I think that, the idea is to start and make it manageable. We're going to have a six-game regular season this year. Next year we'll expand to an eight-game regular season schedule. And I don't think we'll ever go probably more than 8 to 10 games, because the idea, again, is we're going to start and we're going to allocate, have our player drafts, our free agent signings, if you will, that first week in September, right after the NFL has their final roster cut down from 75 to 53. And there's going to be a lot of good young players out there, especially this year. There's going to be more of these juniors guys that declared early, that get cut, now they're done. They can't go back to college. They have no choice. They have 3 years of college. They don't even have a formal degree. So we're going to give these guys an opportunity to continue to pursue their goal of landing on an active roster and get back to the NFL. But six teams, six-game regular season schedule this year. And, we're going to start Wednesday, October 1st will be our first night. It will be our opening kickoff.
Right, six teams, six cities, six different owners, or is there one owner for the entire league, for every team?
No, it's definitely a multiple entity structure, very similar to the NFL. The league right now is on paper at least, owns two of the teams. The rest of the teams will have and do have ownership interest, but that's rapidly changing. The league has gotten, I've gotten support from a lot of people. They really think this is a great model financially. One of our partners is Alan Pace. He's a top executive with Citigroup, and so we've had a lot of the top Wall Street guys look at it and say, this makes sense, this is sustainable. And more business people, very notable business people, are getting involved with our efforts. So while we own two of the teams right now on paper, it's looking like that's going to be changed. So before we even have our first kickoff, I think we'll have an owner for every market.
Which six cities are you looking at, and what kind of venues do you anticipate playing in, Brian?
Yeah, smaller. I mean, again, cost containment's the priority. So most of our partners, we're looking, obviously, we're going to be in New York. We're going to be in Boston. We're going to be in Omaha. We're going to be in South Florida and Austin, Texas, and then, of course, Portland would be our number six. And in most of those situations, with Omaha, we're going to be playing in TD Park where they're currently conducting the College World Series. New York would be a minor league park venue. But all of our stadiums are smaller venues, 20,000 or less. You know, to me, if we get 5,000 and 6,000 people at our games, we're going to be very happy with the bottom line. I'll just tell you from a financial perspective. But we do think we can do better than that, because at the end of the day, even though we say it's a minor league model, it's a major league product. And the level of talent that we're going to have on the field is, I think, going to be, you know, very impressive.
Ryan, there's NFL football occupying people's attention on Sunday, Monday, Thursday. There's college football on Thursday and Saturday. High school football's big, many areas on Fridays and Saturdays. When would your league play its games?
We're going to play on Wednesday night. So you just proved my point right there. We don't want to conflict with existing high school, college, or disrupt the apple cart with the NFL. So we feel like that Wednesday night is the appropriate night for us to play our games, and I think it bodes well for us, even with a TV partner.
We're on the line with Brian Woods. He's the commissioner of the new Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. Just talking for him about this, talking with him about this for a couple more minutes. We talked about the players, Brian. Well, players, you mentioned you wait until after the final cutdown. Would it be a choice between, you know, the Buffalo Bills practice squad or playing in the FXFL, or would it not be that much of a choice? Would they stay?
No, I think in if they're retained as a practice squad player, based on what we're paying our players, I would imagine that an agent would gladly tell a kid very quickly you need to stay with the Bills and their practice squad opportunity. I think practice squad salary this year is going to be somewhere around $6,300 a week. We're paying roughly $1,000 a game.
Okay.
We also are going to be planning to provide a housing program in all our markets and some type of meal program as well. So I think, yeah, if the choice is there, we're going to be getting guys. But even that being said, I know there's different teams, and they have different philosophies, and some decide we want to take one guy in our practice squad as a receiver. We might take two receivers. It just depends on what they feel like their needs are this year, how many veterans they have at each position. So when they make that cut down from 75 to 53, and then you got a young man who's been there, let's say at the receiver spot, and maybe he could easily land on another practice squad with another team, but he's been with that team learning their system throughout the entire training camp. Sometimes it's just a numbers game, and I would make the argument that sometimes it's not the best athlete, it's the guy who makes the fewest mistakes. And I think that, you know, the difference between an undrafted rookie free agent and a fourth round pick is splitting hairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I both know it's not an exact science. So we're still going to get a high level product coming to us and trying to develop them and get them back.
What about the other end of the player pool spectrum? The old veteran who wants to hang on, wants to keep playing, you know. What about Ocho Cinco or Terrell Owens or somebody like that? I mean,
yeah, you know, I think, John, my position is this simply. If we start to take on players like that, then we're not holding true to our model and what we stand for. And we really want to be a developmental league. We've had reporters talk to us about Tim Tebow, and the answer is no, we're not interested in Tim Tebow. This is not what this league is about. This league is about actually giving guys who have a true opportunity to make an NFL roster, provide them with development. So really, this year's class, the guy that you see us procure with this year's inaugural season, they're going to be no more than probably 2 years removed from college. And then once guys land on our rosters, they're going to only spend a maximum of 3 years with us. And if they're not back in the NFL at that point, it's pretty much, you know, the writing's on the wall for them. It's a, you know, so you can make that determination rather quickly.
And, Brian, what about guys who, you know, academically ineligible for NCAA, maybe didn't even go to college? Will you have 19-year-old players?
This is where I don't want to offend anybody, speaking of your affiliation in the National Football League, but look, the NBA D League still takes them right out of high school. Minor league baseball, Major League Baseball will draft players right out of high school. And so I do think there should be another platform for a player other than college football. I really believe that. They're not student athletes anymore. They're athletes first, and really that's all they do. And they keep them eligible for as long as they can. And so I think if you look around the college landscape with the players unionizing at Northwestern, and you see these case after case in federal court against the NCAA, I think you're going to see some drastic changes very soon. I think the unionization of the players at Northwestern were just the start of that. But I think we're going to look at hardship on a case-by-case basis. And if a young man academically just can't make it, then I think we would definitely look at giving them an opportunity.
I think you're right about that. I think you're onto something there. I think, just my opinion, I think there's a day of reckoning coming for big-time college sports that may make a developmental league for at least football and basketball, make it critical, I think. But that's another issue. A couple of other wrinkles about your league. The officials, you're going to have you see it as like a training ground for officials, too, to work in some pro football?
I do, and I think that, I would say that obviously we're working toward a goal of having a relationship with the National Football League, and I would say that I think that that's probably where they see probably the quickest benefit to them is there is no other place right now for them to train prospective NFL officials. The college game, arena football, these leagues and different avenues, the rules deviate too much, so why not put them in our league? We're going to use, I would say, 98% of NFL rules. We're looking at maybe making some adjustments to our kicking game to make the game a little safer. But I think that that's where we can offer a benefit to the National Football League immediately. This is a place to train your referees. Since 2001, every official that's come to the NBA has come to the NBA via the NBA Developmental League. So it's not just for players. Our league is for players, it's for coaches, and it's for referees.
You mentioned the kicking game, and I read a report that said your league may envision no punts, no kickoffs, take the kicking right out of football?
Yeah. I think that, number one, I think that there would be more scoring if you eliminate the punt altogether. I think the most frustrating thing for me, not only as a former player or coach, but as a fan, is nothing more to watch your team drive to the opponent's 46. Or worse, I've seen a college football game where they drive to the opponent's 37. And they line up and punt.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing in the world to me. They punt 20 yards, and it's a net of like – they punt into the end zone, and it's a net of like 16 yards. So I think that we're looking at eliminating the kicking game in various aspects for fan enjoyment. I think it would make the game a little more exciting, but I also think we can make the game safer. I think you look at the kickoff primarily and the punt, and that's the play in football where you have the highest incident for injury. So we really want to make the game safer. And I think we can make it a little more exciting as well. We're definitely, I can tell you for sure, that we will definitely not have the traditional extra point punt or the traditional point after try that the National Football League has. We're definitely going to have more of a two-point conversion type setup on that.
Hey, Brian, is television part of your model for the FXFL? And, in fact, do you need a television contract to make this thing go financially?
No, you don't, and that's what I've told people all along, that it's not predicated on TV revenue, and I mean that in the sense that minor league baseball has existed for many, many years without it, and the NBA D League has, I think they have a limited number of games on CBS Sports Network, and I think they do some things, they've done some things through YouTube, but we're not looking for a TV rights fee, and if we have television, which we will have this year on a smaller scale, it's more of an exposure thing just for the players and for the league itself, but not because we absolutely need it. Because to me, the success doesn't lie in the national brand of the league per se. To me, the success is at the local level.
So. And you've said a couple of times about establishing something of a partnership with the National Football League. How far down the road have you gone with that, and how important is that to the FXFL?
Well, you know, I definitely and appreciate the discretion of all the parties involved, and when we're having talks and so on and so forth. And I can tell you that that obviously my long-term goal is to have an official relationship with the National Football League, and I am definitely working toward that, and we hope that we can have that bridge. We can make inroads with them, rather quickly with this.
And you're going to be up and running this October. You'll be playing games this October.
We will. And, John, we're going to have uniforms and helmets and everything. We're
going to be ready. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
We've been very clandestine in our operations. I think that's what's thrown a lot of people off. So when they've seen these announcements, they're like, wait a second, how are you going to get this league off the ground in 90 days? Well, I can assure you that we haven't been planning just yesterday. We've been behind the scenes doing a lot of things, and that includes working with apparel manufacturers and equipment dealers and all the things that we need to do to assist our local ownership and get them up and running rather quickly. And the other thing is, some of our partnerships are in minor league baseball venues. They're providing some marketing support. So we have boots on the ground in most of our local markets at this point and are ready to mobilize rather quickly.
I wish you luck, Brian, on this. I think it's a great idea, because it's something that, as I said, I think there's a Armageddon coming for big time college football very shortly, and I think the NFL will benefit from this, and I hope this works. We may check back with you, in a couple of months as this thing picks up steam. If that's all right, would that be okay?
That would be excellent, John. I really appreciate the forum tonight to talk about the league, and I appreciate you and what you're doing, and I just hope that we can make you proud in our efforts this fall, and we can be around for many years to come.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, take care.
Brian Woods, commissioner of the brand-new Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. You can go to their Twitter site if you want to learn more. They have a website as well. The Twitter is GoFXFL. I think it's a great idea. I do. I've talked about that, mentioned it to Troy Vincent at the end of May. My pal Bill Polian was talking about it way back in the early springtime about the need for a developmental league. I think there is one, and I think it would solve a lot of problems on both the college football level and help the NFL. I think it would fix college football more than it would help the NFL, to tell you the truth. But I hope this works. I think he's onto something really good there.